Hello and welcome to the One Uppers podcast for, I don't even know what day it's going to be, but it's episode 23, and today, for what you've been playing, I have with me Lord of RPG.
Hello.
Alright, since this is going to be the what you've been playing segment, I'm just going to let him start.
Alright, well, I've been playing Call of Duty 4 online. That's PS3 version. Free online play, which is awesome. That's pretty fun. I've been running through single player on veteran, which is really a bitch, but it's a challenge. So, and I've been playing Advanced Wars Days of Ruin for DS. It's a pretty fun game. If you're a fan of, like, the previous, if you're a fan of Dual Strike, it's better, but it's also shorter. It's, like, only 26, like, missions, but it's still a fun game. If you like the series, go out and buy it. I've been playing that, those two, and I've been playing Phoenix Wright, Trials and Tribulations. I've been going through that whole series. And I think that's just about it.
Now with the Advanced Force, does it have like a lot of bonus missions, like the War Room and stuff that wasn't part of the main story that you can still play through?
Yeah, as you go along in the game, there are you unlock training missions, quote-unquote, which are just like side chapters that have nothing to do with the story. They're just bonus. They're actually a lot harder than the regular missions themselves. And then there's the design room. You can, you know, make your own maps or whatever.
Have you tried out online play?
No, I haven't yet. So, need to get... I can't really say anything about that.
Okay, I've just been wondering about that mainly. I guess I'll go into what I've been playing. I was at a pawn shop the other week, and, I was looking at the games. I was there to get something else, but I just looked over the games because you never know what you might find. And in a little stupid little box they had, there was the Kid Icarus of Myths and Monsters. And that's the first and only sequel to Kid Icarus, the cult classic NES game made by Gunpei Yokoi and the rest of the Metroid team. I mean, I haven't played the first Kid Icarus. I've been meaning to. I mean, I had the Virtual Console, just haven't gotten to play it. And it's kind of like Metroid, but instead of having like a big world, it has like it's kind of more like stages. There's more stages, non-linear parts to it. I mean, linear parts to it. And after you get past one stage, you don't have to go back again. There's no real backtracking. But as far as combat goes, it's pretty much like Metroid. You still got your bow. It's pretty much like the blaster Samus has. A lot of enemies are pretty much the same. Some take more damage, but it's pretty much one-hit kills. I haven't played much of it, really. It's really not that great of a game. I got to the first boss, and that's after four stages, and he really just kicked my fucking ass. So, I kind of just quit. I might come back to it, but that's pretty much it for Kid Icarus 2. Got any questions about it?
No, I'm not really. I've heard of it, but I've never played either the first one or the sequel, so can't really comment.
Yeah, some people want Kid Icarus back. After playing this, I really couldn't give a shit. And finally, I picked up Kirby 64, the Crystal Shards for Virtual Console. Now, this one's actually a really good game. I mean, for like 50, 60 bucks, whatever it cost back then, it kind of would seem just kind of like a little bit of rip-off, because Kirby games are usually too easy or too short. But, it's still a very good game. It's pretty much Kirby, any Kirby game you ever played, besides like Canvas Curse or all the other spin-offs like Avalanche and Tilt and Tumble. It's pretty much a straight 2D platform. It's got the 3D graphics, kind of like a new Super Mario Brothers was for DS. Looks like a 3D game, but it's pretty much 2D. But the coolest part about that one is you can, instead of like having one combo, I mean one special power up, you can combine them. Instead of having like flame and just a sword. You can combine them into a big flame sword, for example. But it kind of makes the game, the bosses pretty easy when you get the super weapons, because you can pretty much hit them with like three hits once you have like a big gigantic weapon. But when you don't have any weapons at all against boss fights, they're kind of like way too hard, because they're kind of designed that way. But overall, I've been enjoying it pretty much so far. I only got to like stage 3 because I've been doing other stuff, but still pretty fun game. I mean, for $10, I can easily recommend it, even though I haven't gotten that far. So any questions or comments about the Kirby 64?
Well, I had it originally for the 64, and I had a fun time with it. There's one weapon in the game which is just, like, overpowered, I think. It's like an exploding ninja star. Like, you just throw it, and it, like, sticks to an enemy and explodes. It's amazing. But it was, like, the bomb power-up and something else combined. I can't remember. But it's in the Toy Factory stage. Look there. You'll need it for that boss. But any power-up against, like, a boss will work. Because the bosses actually in that game aren't that tough if you have, like you said, a power-up. Otherwise, you have to suck up, like, normal enemies and shoot them at them.
I also noticed that there's, like, one where you combine the electric power-up with the, I can't remember, it's like stone, maybe? And Kirby has, like, a double-bladed lightsaber.
Oh, yeah.
And this is, like, a year after Episode 1 came out, so I thought that was kind of funny. It actually ain't that great of a weapon. Its range is not that great, but kind of funny to see that. Plagiarism at its best. And I guess that pretty much wraps up what you've been playing, and when we get back, we'll do news. Hello, welcome back. This is going to be the new segment, and Lord of RPG is back to discuss it with us. And we don't have much news, per se, because it's GDC week, and most of it is just a bunch of developers talk about how good games are made and blah, blah, blah. Mainly for them, not for the press, but there was still a considerable amount of stuff that was released this week. So we'll go over that. And I didn't do a good job of getting everything this week, so I apologize. I kind of did this not a lot of time, and a lot of my news sources I just didn't want to bother looking through. Virtual console releases for this week were Kirby 64. We already mentioned that in what you've been playing. And the second game was Psychosis for the TurboGrafx-16. And that was another side-scrolling shooter. And that makes about 50 of them now for the Virtual Console. And never got to play it. Don't really care. Maybe have some fans, but I have really no opinion on it. Do you?
I have no clue what it is, so, you know, I have no take.
Our next next bit is they had a documentary on King of Kong where Billy Mitchell and Steve Wiebe were showing how they're getting the high record in Donkey Kong, the original arcade game, but there's reports that there's going to be a similar documentary on the E.T. game for the Atari 2600 that got, basically the story was, they tried to make a bunch of E.T. games, they didn't sell, they had a bunch of back stock, so they made a big hole and buried them, and they're going to make a movie on that. So would you sit?
I might, I don't know. I mean, I need to go see King of Kong, you know, just that itself, because I heard that was pretty good, but I might check it out if it's decent.
Alright, I would say it too. I mean, if it's good, I mean, it sounds like a pretty interesting story. At least if they go back to the whole E.T. crap. I mean, I couldn't imagine a whole movie based on just, like, how they bury the shit. But, our next bit, Wii owners got a new firmware update, 3.2, and you really can't notice any difference. Like, some firmware updates included, like, the new clock, some other stuff. But this is pretty much a one for the system internally. You really can't see any differences, but apparently there are some. And if you downloaded the firmware, you got it. Any thoughts on it?
I haven't, like, updated my Wii in a while, so I don't know. I might hook it up and download it, you know, for that new clock. I mean, that sounds pretty good right there, so.
The clock's been there for quite some time, man.
See, like, you learn something new every day. Like,
I got a Wii back in August, and mine had it on there.
I don't know. I got mine, like, in the Christmas season. Like, I waited out for it, so. It's cold. Oh, man. That day was not a good day to be outside.
But I downloaded 3.2 firmware, I think it was this morning, actually, but no difference. I mean, I've been playing Virtual Console. Everything seems to be working fine and all good. Our next bit is a kind of a big one. Sony head, whatever his title was, Phil Harrison, he's going to be resigning from Sony. I never got much of a reason for it, but when people resign from stuff, they don't really give much of a reason. But I guess he's not going to be plugging the PS3 anymore. But there's been reports that he's going to be going to Atari for some reason. I mean, I don't see why they would pay anybody more than I don't see why Atari would pay him more than Sony would. I mean, Atari's been kind of in financial trouble, haven't they?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure, but...
Well, they at least not being been doing as great as they want to. I'm not very sure on that, but I never really liked Phil at all. And he just kind of like appeared out of nowhere 1 month. I mean, and then now he's gone, so whatever. You gonna miss Phil?
Probably not.
Alright, everybody's probably heard about the whole Blu-ray winning over HD DVD, and no surprise, I mean, HD DVD was pretty much the underdog for a long time, and Microsoft is finally discontinuing its HD DVD player for the 360. Like, anybody ever bought the damn thing? You ever even seen it in the store?
I haven't. I have a PS3, so I'm Blu-ray all the way, so hopefully the prices will start going down, you know, for the discs.
And probably not, since that's a monopoly now. I mean, it's going to be a pretty good day for the HD DVD owners who get all that stuff on budget, but since everything's going to be on closeout, but, I don't see why anybody would even care about the HD DVD player anymore anyway. It's pretty much a smart move on Microsoft to discontinue it. Speaking of hardware, Sony's going to be releasing a new version of the PSP. Not like a update, but a new color / bundle. A red PSP with God of War, Chains of Olympus, and I think Super Bad on UMD will hit stores in June, so PSP owners and wannabe owners can look forward to that. I never got a confirmation on the price, so it's probably like $300 or $250, I don't know. So would you get a red PSP?
I would, probably. I mean, if it's got like God of War in it, I mean, I'm a like God of War fan, so I might pick it up.
Alright. Another Sony hardware news, they're going to be releasing the last-gen technology, DualShock 3, as they like to call it, in the U.S. on April 13th. It's already out in Japan right now, and a lot of people have imported it, and apparently it works fine. I guess there's no region locks on controllers. I don't even think... Is the PS3... region free for games?
Oh, like, I'm not, well, because I've played the, like, I don't know if Rumble's really that big of a deal on PS3. I've grown used to not having Rumble, so And I picked up a 360 controller the other day, and I was playing Call of Duty 4, and it was, like, rumbling like crazy, and I was, like, freaking out. It's like, oh, yeah, that's what it's supposed to do. So I'm glad the DualShock's coming back, though.
Next up, Red Faction Guerrilla, and it's spelled like guerrilla warfare, not like Guerrilla Monkey. It's going to be, it was announced, and you can expect next-gen blowing up environments and guerrilla warfare. So I played both of them. I played 2 on GameCube. It was alright. I rented that one. And later I got the first game on PS2 from a friend. I just happened to trade him some crap and I got it. And the first Red Faction, it got a lot of praise, but it's pretty much a piece of crap today. I mean, the controls were pretty sloppy. The graphics have aged like, they look like a high-res PS1 game now, and the AI is just pretty much shit, and the destructible environments in the first game are pretty disappointing. I mean, a wall blows up, not even part of it, I mean, it's just part of it, the wall, from what I can remember, so, I mean, I was never the biggest Red Faction fan, but if they can put some serious effort into a new game, I'd be up for it, though. What about you?
I'm probably not going to get it, so...
Alright, kind of... This next part is kind of putting up some controversy. Xbox Live Arcade has a limit to how big your games can be. Symphony of the Night kind of broke the rules, and they had to change the size limit because... it was like something like 50 megs you could put on just because, like, Microsoft wanted to make sure every Xbox Live Arcade game could be fit on a memory card, blah, blah, blah. And they still have limits, even with Symphony of the Night. And, Bionic Commando Rearmed is going to look better on the PS3 just because, there's no limit. So they can have, like, a super high-res version that doesn't, have to be, like, downgraded just because they need to show some space for the hard drive. I mean, for what forever limit? I mean, Bionic Commando is pretty much going to look great no matter what system it's on. I don't care if it looks just a little bit better on PS3. I'd probably just get on 360 anyway if I had both systems at the time. But, I don't really see the limit being that negative to live arcade games, because most limits are pretty much based on video. I mean, a video can just pretty much make a file size, like, humongous. I don't really care about high-res textures, do you?
Not really.
I just need to wake up. Ugh.
Get excited, man. We got Jon Stewart. You know, he's playing Nintendo Wii during Oscars. I mean...
Yeah, I saw that on YouTube. Basically, the Oscars came on. I didn't even pay attention to it. I was like, wait a minute, the Oscars came on? But, basically what it was, the Oscars went to commercial, and when it came back on, Jon Stewart and some girl, I didn't pay attention to who she was. Basically, they were playing a game of Wii Tennis, and obviously it was staged, but they kind of ended their match, and then Jon Stewart said, when am I supposed to be winded, and everybody laughed or something. But this pretty much shows how big the Wii has gotten with the casual crowd, because could you imagine somebody like Jon Stewart or whoever hosts the Oscars regularly would be playing, like, a video game on the show floor? I mean, on the stage. I mean, could you imagine playing, like, Halo or Resistance or Gran Turismo?
It's like, so unlikely. I don't know if they, like, expect people to believe, you know, that that's, like, real, that that wasn't staged, but, you know.
Alright, one of the biggest controversies from GDC was, Nintendo announcing their Wii Pay to Play service. Now, basically what this is, Nintendo's gonna start charging for stuff online. Now, the details are very, very sketchy. I mean, they kind of just announced it to developers. They kind of just didn't... I mean, they knew press would report it, but they didn't really make any real news-worthy comments on it. It pretty much says, with every Wii game, there's going to be, like, a red logo next to it if it supports it. Now, this could mean, like, paying for online service or downloadable content, like... Rock Band's coming to the Wii, it's been confirmed. So, if it has downloadable songs that you had to pay for, then it would have the logo. Now, if Wii also gets, like, MMORPGs like Final Fantasy XI, I mean, they ported it at 360, why not the Wii? So, if that came on, it would need the red logo as well, because obviously they're going to charge for it. In stuff like Phantasy of Star Online, if they ever decide to do that too. But a lot of people think are kind of like charging a bit too fast because they're like, oh no, they're going to start charging for everything. Smash Brothers is going to cost like $50 a year just to play it, just that one game. I mean, no. Japan doesn't have to play it, doesn't have that logo on it. So you have to say it's safe to assume that it's going to be free forever. I don't think Nintendo's going to charge for every game. It's pretty much that downloadable content crap and stuff like MMOs. Stuff that you would know would cost money to actually run that. I mean, some people are like, maybe if we could pay not to have friend codes. I don't know. I mean, if it was all unified, I mean, this kind of sounds like it'd be just like your username just for that game, or maybe just for that service. Like EA has their own online servers, and you need to register your own username. But what do you think of we pay to play?
I don't know. I think people are like overreacting. I mean, if it's just downloadable content, you know, there's nothing really to worry about. So. Everybody just needs to chill, you know.
And downloadable content was confirmed for Wii, so everybody can. It's safe to assume that it will come, and that's probably what the logo was meant to be for. So, just remember, people, keep cool. Smash Bros. Will be free. Mario Kart hopefully will be free. Maybe Animal Crossing. If Animal Crossing is kind of like Wild World was, where it's just kind of friends and not like a big old city where everybody could just mingle together. It's probably safe to assume that would be free, too. But, that kind of wraps it up for news. I'm sorry if we sound all bored and monotone, but, kind of how it works when you do this, ill-prepared and at night and your voices are all sore. But that pretty much wraps it up for news. Hello and welcome back. This is going to be our community section, and, Lord RPG is back with us, and we really don't have much for community left, so, but we do have a few things. First up, one of kind of having some bugs. They're doing something on the tech side that's really kind of annoying people. Just a few things like blogs are kind of like the code's kind of messed up. You'll log out if you like exit your browser. But don't worry, it happens all the time, so you just have to wait it out. There's really nothing you can do. Just want to clear that out for a second. And I guess we'll go on to threads. Killer Fly made a discovery about, I guess they got a leaked Game Informer issue where, like, one of the editors, I didn't get his name because I didn't research this good enough, but, basically, he's kind of calling out Shu, because Shu made a blog about game developers that kind of like kind of blackballed him, saying like they didn't really like whatever EGM was talking about the game, so they just didn't give him previews anymore. And basically, this guy's blog, I mean, this guy's editorial, whatever he did, he basically said, oh, yeah, my developer relations are great. I never had anybody do that to me. Yeah, you work for, like, a fucking corporation. Of course they're not going to blackball you. I mean, if they do that, and then Game Informer's pissed, and now GameStop's going to be pissed, and GameStop can just, like, fuck up not as order as many games from that company. So what do you think about this?
I mean, I think he's kind of rubbing it in the shoe's face, but, I mean, he's kind of being a dick about it, so, you know, should stop. Yes, I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, I heard about this a little bit before, but, I mean, I didn't know that he had written editorial or whatever about it, but, I mean, of course, like you said, he's not going to get blackballed, but the guy's being a dick, so.
All right, there's a Spitfire44 made a thread called, Why do we still not have Elite Beat Agents 2? And that's a pretty good question, because it came out in, like, 2006 or 5. Basically, it's developed by the same people who did Awindon, and that came out, like, a year before EBA, and EBA, and Awindon 2 came out about a year after EBA. So, it's been about a year since EBA, I mean, Awindon 2, so you should, but if you could guess, then EBA 2 should come around next couple months if they decide to release it, but, I mean, it sold okay. I think Awindon did better in Japan, sales-wise, than EBA did here, but I don't see any reason why they would not want to release it. You got any comments?
I mean, I played the first EBA, and, you know, I liked it, so, I mean, I would be thrilled if they released it here, so, I mean, I'm pretty sure it would sell at least, I mean, I think it would sell all right, but I don't know what their logic is, so.
Room Temperature made a thread called ESRB Ratings You Don't Agree With. I think we might have done this before, but I can't really remember, so, few ones that really crossed my mind are Halo. I mean, besides some minor blood, it's pretty much a sci-fi shooter that would probably get a T rating if there wasn't any blood. I mean, I don't really consider that a mature game. All you're doing is blowing up aliens or guys in metal suits. And another one that comes to mind is Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball. I mean, you pretty much see as much as you see in, like, Victoria's Secret. It's not really a porn game. That's really all I can really remember offhand. What about you?
I can't really think of any. Halo was my big one. I mean, there's not really any, like, graphic violence, I guess. I mean, and they have, like, swearing, maybe. Like, they have swearing, and that maybe is it. Like, wow. That's pathetic, really. But I can't think of really any others right off the top of my head.
Alright, tend to end up this dry and boring podcast. I'm sorry, guys, but not feeling so good, and we weren't really prepared this week, so apologies. We know we suck this week, but we're going to make it up to you, because we have a contest. Yay! It only affects Wii owners, so tough shit. Basically, the Wii has the Virtual Console gift-giving feature. All you have to do is go on the Virtual Console, pick your game out, and either say buy it or gift it. And basically, you can give a gift to any person on your Wii friends list. Now, I said, I got access to Virtual Console, and I got a credit card. So, I thought maybe I could give away games every once in a while. Try to get the word of mouth spread, and try to get more people to listen to this podcast, but basically, I was going to ask you a question, and all you have to do is contact me, either through one message, AIM, if you can contact me and know it's me, and tell me who you are, then you can enter. I mean, it's basically as simple as that, and if I tell you when, then you just give me your info, and then I'll give you your game. And it's of my choice, so I might give you one that I think you might like, or one that I might think you might hate.
Psychosis, for example.
Yeah, and don't And don't say, like, I have Urban Champion or China Warrior. I mean, you can list all the games you have, but I can still find shit to give you, so.
There's plenty of it.
Yeah. But, instead of, like, doing a question like, who did you meet in, like, blah, 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 in this part of the game, that's stuff you can, like, look up on Wikipedia. I'm going to kind of do a question about me, per se. But it's going to be one that anybody can answer, just because there's just a limited amount of answers. And the question is, since I've been playing Kirby 64, what was the first Kirby game I ever played? That's all you have to do. I mean, there haven't been that many Kirby games out, and I'm almost 20 years old, so if you can use some logic, maybe the first game I ever played was one of the earliest in the series, maybe. Kind of give you a clue, or maybe just throwing you off, but I haven't been that many Kirby games, so.
Hey, I'll give him a hint. It is not Super Smash Brothers. There you go.
Alright, I guess that wraps it up for episode 23, and we are Ghosts.